Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Bob, and you're about to listen to the final part of the season of skepticism of Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. First of all, I hope you've enjoyed this different series. It'll all be back to normal next time. But I'm just letting you know, you may have noticed it on this series in general. It's become more and more noticeable as the series has gone on, especially on this one. But we have some issues with Tiss's microphone. So we'll get that sorted in the break, and hopefully next time it will be sorted out. But we are aware of it. There is a slight buzzing. I've reduced it as much as I can, but when Tiss is speaking, you can hear a slight buzzing underneath him. But you may have noticed that on the other episodes anyway. It's just become more and more noticeable as the series has gone on. But yeah, we're going to address that during the break. The other thing is, the plan initially for this run of episodes was to have a guest on every episode. Due to some last minute problems, there is no guest on this one. But actually, I think we make the most of it and we get a lot of listener interaction. So anyway, that's this episode. Enjoy.
And I'm not joking. I've wet myself.
And now for a tangent.
Hello and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. I'm your host, Tiss. My co-host with me, as always, Bob. Say hello.
Hello, this is Bob.
Beef, say hello.
Hello, this is Beef.
Cool. What are we talking about today, Bob? I can't remember.
I was waiting. That's why I wanted you to introduce the show, because I was going to see if you actually knew what we were talking about.
No.
Okay, so it's the final part of our season of skepticism. You've been with us through the journey. We talked to Rick. We talked about skepticism in general as a discussion episode. We spoke to Emma and we talked about who we were and sort of comparing ourselves now to our relationship with skepticism and the show when we first started 5-6 years ago. We had Zara on last time, where we talked about who we are now as people and how we feel about the podcast and skepticism now. And finally, this time, we're talking about who we will be. We're looking to the future. Unfortunately, we have had a last-minute change of plan. We don't have a guest in this episode because these things happen. It's the wild world of podcasting. But it might be quite nice just to have us three to reflect on the series. And it's easier for my edit as well. but the listeners have really come out in force, to be honest. Like, there's been so many responses from listeners that we've got a lot of that to work through. We've got some stuff to talk about, we've got some stuff to reflect on, so I think we're gonna manage it on our own to cap off this series, just the core team.
Yeah, it'll mean that we can actually address some of those questions which we wouldn't have had the time to do otherwise, which is really nice.
Yeah,
so if people have got in touch with us, then
I was thinking
to get
that
back to them.
I always wanted to have some of the listeners' responses on this one, and I thought, oh, we're probably not going to be able to get through that many if we've got a guest. But actually, we can sort of pile through them, I think, and talk to see what some of the listeners have been saying. But yeah,
awesome.
What have we learned, guys?
I think it's been interesting that actually, we've kind of gone on this journey, all three of us, haven't we, and sort of discovered that we've not really changed an awful lot.
No.
I was quite surprised that I didn't think I'd changed as, like, I don't know, I just remember listening to that first episode for, you know, for when we were talking with Emma, Mm-hmm. I was really surprised by the first episode. Like, the way we do the episode hasn't really changed very much. I suppose the way I feel about skepticism probably hasn't changed as much as I thought.
Mm.
But it was just interesting to go into it as a journey and just sort of explore it in that, it's probably the world around us that's changed, and we've just got older and more, you know, we've experienced more, all three of us, and all three of us have, moved on a lot, and life has happened, and that's probably shifted our thinking a bit.
I definitely think what you say about the world around us, that's come up quite a lot, and I think we were thinking we're getting burnt out on this stuff because of all the crap in the media and all that shit. And I know we've all three of us have said we don't use social media a great deal anymore because it was just too depressing, all that stuff. And I think actually when I listened to the old episodes, like you said, for the one we did with Emma, it did sort of reignite a little spark because I could hear how excited we were. And I could hear, especially when I listened to Tiss's first conspiracies one again, I was like, God, we're so excited by these conspiracies because these conspiracies are fun. And when I was listening back to them, I was like, they're still fun. There's still fun stuff out there. We've just got to ignore like the boring shit that's out there at the moment and the tiring idiots. Actually, there's still a lot of fun in the shit we talk about.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's maybe the subjects that we explored. So I think when you think about the conspiracies we looked at were like, we're not saying that the ones we looked at later on were less fun, but we looked at the ones we found more exhilarating first. So, and then the more we looked into them, the more you learn about the world of conspiracy and the sort of people that are involved in that. So, yeah, I just think we've just become more experienced.
Yeah, it's the fun stuff that they used to do X-Files episodes about. That sort of stuff is the stuff I'm still like excited by.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you, Tiss? What have you learned?
Yeah, I guess echoing what you guys said, we haven't changed that much. Definitely burnt out, but I'm going to try and find some fun conspiracies. I mean, what do you think the episodes going forward? How do you guys see your episodes going forward?
Tiss, it's like you read my notes. It's literally my next bullet point.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? For me, I'm having this sort of off season where we sort of analyse ourselves a little bit. I feel like we felt like there was so much to analyse. And actually, when we broke it down, like we said, there kind of wasn't. It was kind of like, actually, we're still just us. And all the listeners said the same stuff, like, oh, you guys are just the same. And a lot of the listeners said they've been listening to old episodes and all that stuff, and they really didn't see much of a difference in us. And I, like I said, when I listened to the early episodes, I still felt excited about the stuff we were talking about, and it was like our excitement was palpable on those episodes. So for me, my episodes going forward, it's almost just like back to basics, baby. Like, I want to do some of them topics that we never managed to do that we said we wanted to do. And that cat noise, love it.
Sorry.
I really hope that got through the recording.
Sorry, did you hear the cat?
Yes. Love it.
he's trying to get out the cat flap.
Well, I know we said we didn't have a guest this episode. We kind of did. The special guest Figaro there.
Yeah, he'll come back in a minute.
I could hear him batting the cat flap for ages. Just like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah,
bam,
I was
bam,
sorry. It's really annoying. He's doing it every night at the minute. It's driving me crazy.
That's funny.
He'll come back and do it again like in a minute.
That's funny. I lost my train of thought, unfortunately. So
saying you're going to be back to basics.
Yeah, back to basics. Good fun. Like, some of the... I think sometimes the newer episodes, we feel so hard on ourselves for like doing, well, maybe this is just me, but getting the research in. And like, I suppose after the popularity of the Warrens ones in particular, like Zara said, I was like, oh, I really have to get this research down and make this right. And when I listen to the early ones, it's so like casual. We're almost just a listicle podcast, just like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And just chatting. The conversational aspect, I think, people liked then and they still really like now. It gives room for tangents.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd agree. So I would love to think that I could get back to maybe some more spiritual subjects.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because I kind of did a lot at the beginning, not having a clue how long we were going to do this podcast for, and thinking I'll probably only be doing like a few episodes, and then either you guys would ask me to leave, or we just would stop doing it. Like, I never imagined we'd still be doing it 6 years later. So I rinsed a lot of material, and then I guess kind of thought, oh, it'd be really fun to look at, like, Yeti and 9/11 and other conspiracies, you know, surrounding events like that. So I think I'd like to try and get back to that if I can. But I think, like you, it's just drawn my attention to the fact that we've probably, like, in an effort to try and make the pod as good as we can, we've kind of made it a bit more... not rigid, but we've just probably been a bit more focused than, and actually a lot of the early episodes were just, it was like weird news every week. It was just like really lighthearted. Yeah. And I think I've been quite surprised to see some of the comments on Facebook this week that people love it when we go on a tangent, and they love it when it's just chilled. And I think maybe we've had a few incidents over the years with people telling us we need to get our research right. And I think we're conscious to try and like adhere to that and try and get research right, but also you want to hit the sweet spot, don't you? You want to get the balance right.
I think you're right about that. That, like, I think that's what made us feel more self-conscious about getting the research right. When we had like this vocal minority, every now and then they'd be like, oh, you're totally wrong about this. And it made me go, God, we can't put out the show if we're talking absolute crap. We talk enough like crap when we go off on tangents. When it's the actual topic, we have to get it right. And it made me feel really under pressure to like really put in the research. And it's like, well, you know, I have a job, I'm studying a degree, and then this is like a third job on top of it. And it's in that side of it stresses you out when you're trying to get an episode together instead of it being fun, which it used to be. And actually, I think a lot of people don't really care when we get stuff wrong.
No, I don't think so.
Like, not saying we should have researched. And actually, some of the topics that we have really heavily researched because we were into them, I'm thinking like the Warrens episode and like Tiss's Tupac Zodiac.
Yeah.
Which is a really great double episode. It's not like, oh, they become too rigid. I still think there's definitely room for those more like research topics if we're passionate about them. But I think we'd have to like not be so stressed out about like, oh, has to be like the best episode ever. Because some of the episodes that people cite as being ones they love, I'm just like, that one, I sort of whacked that together out of nowhere.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's me, back to basic. It's kind of a middle ground because I do think the stuff we've done in the last couple of years has been great. But I also love the charm of the early ones. I want like a middle ground of that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, what about you, Tiss, going forward for your episodes?
Yeah, I'm thinking like conspiracy theories, but like fun ones. And like you said, just lighthearted topics, probably more than one topic per thing, like ones that are so small that it's like it's not a whole episode per topic, but that means there's not so much pressure for one topic to hit the nail on the head. You get like a few different stories, few different conspiracies,
because if the other two aren't biting on something, you can go, well, okay, you guys aren't that one, what about this?
Literally,
I'm more of a grab bag. We used to do that. We used to bring too much stuff to the table and we're sort of like, okay, well, we'll save those for another time.
Exactly.
I think some of the best ones I've done, it's you want the best of both worlds. So Fakespear, you know, I spent a lot of time talking to Rachel and did some research myself, and that's probably one of the episodes I spent a long time on because it amazed me that actually, you know, there is some stock to this. And it's not like, you know, Shakespeare never existed or that he was a complete fraud. It was just amazing to be like, oh, actually, like, you know, he didn't completely write every single play, you know, to discover what we did about Christopher Marlowe was amazing.
He didn't write any of them, bruv.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I didn't think he actually existed.
Bruv. Yeah.
But yeah, it was also fun to do. Yeah, so Yeti was fun. And I probably didn't spend more than like an hour on that. And some of the other ones where I've not spent very much time. You know, Witchcraft as well. I enjoyed doing that one. And I didn't really spend a long time researching that. I just sat for because most of it, like you say, we've all got jobs, so we've got to like cram in, you know, a couple of hours here and there, and that's it. That's pretty much all we've got time for. So I think it's just getting the best of both, isn't it?
It's adjusting the show that it's still fun for us, but still want to make it something the listeners want to listen to. I don't want to put in no effort, because it's just like, well, we'll keep going because you guys want us to. And it's like no effort, and we just sort of turn up and dance a jig and walk away.
No, it's still effort.
Yeah, I still want it to be good. Like, I'm trying to think of an example. I don't know. I can't remember what sort of track I was going on with that. But I still want the listeners to enjoy what we're putting out. Like, for example, I know where I was going now. So we said, okay, we used to do it every week. And we had like all the time in the world. Beef didn't have a kid. I didn't have studies. Beef didn't have his studies. We were doing less. Tiss had less work, all this stuff. So we were just like, yeah, we'll meet up once a week and we'll record and we'll talk about shit and all this stuff. Then when we got busier, we said, look, guys, listeners, we don't want to stop because we got so many listeners and you all like, don't want us to stop. So for us to keep the enthusiasm, it has to go like every other week. It can't be weekly. And people were really understanding. We didn't get any shit from listeners about that. They were happy that we're still making the show, and if it's every other week, so be it. Then when I moved away and I started studying and all this, that and the other, I was like, I ain't got time to edit this all the time. Give us a month off every now and then. So we eventually settled into the schedule we have now, where it's 2 months on, 1 month off, and it works. It's great. And that amount, so if that's kind of what I'm saying, if the listeners put up with that stuff to keep the show going and for us to keep our enthusiasm, I'm pretty sure they'll be happy with us to be more tangential and relaxed. If we haven't done so much research for an episode, it's the same thing. It's making compromises to make the show keep the show going, and it won't actually end up feeling like we've made a compromise, because if we didn't make that compromise, our energy would sap and the shows wouldn't be as fun. But if we make that compromise, actually, we're going to have a bit more energy and a bit more fun, and the episodes are going to be more fun.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think the listeners will get that. And the listeners we've got now, definitely. Like, we don't promote the show anymore. We have enough listeners. So the listeners we have are loyal. They're like diehard, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so grateful.
And we always forget, like we said, we always forget how many people listen, because when you're on social media, I don't interact with podcasts I love on social media. Not everyone does. So you sort of post something and you've got like sort of the usual suspects pop up and interact, and great, I love it. And I'm like, oh yeah, we got like these listeners. I mean, it might be like 15 to 30, maybe a bit more, like regular voices that crop up and stuff. And then more if you include the emails and stuff. And then if you include Twitter and all this stuff, but it is, I recognize the names. And then when I actually remember, like, oh yeah, that's a tiny fraction, like a tiny percentile of like the amount of people that actually listen. It's a bit eye-opening sometimes to remember, oh yeah, there are thousands of people that listen.
Yeah. Yeah, which is amazing. And like you say, I don't think I have ever contacted any hosts of any podcast that I listen to. And I listen to quite a few that I really like.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to think that we get people that actually contact us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So I put out a thing on Facebook yesterday, last minute, because I knew we weren't going to have the guest. And I thought, okay, let's get some listeners chipping in. So I asked people on Facebook and Twitter. I said, we're preparing to record the last part of the season of Skepticism, and we want to know, what do you want from us and the podcast going forward? And I said, anything at all, specific or general? What do you want more of, less of? Do you like the tangents or not? Are there any particular topics or topic types that you like? Do you like it when we have guests? Do you like it when there's outside recordings? Do you like listener stories? And I just let them go at it and send some stuff. So, and there was some stuff that like everyone said the same thing.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so this should give us an idea, so we know what the listeners like going forward. And if you disagree with any of this, please feel free to get in contact with us as well, because we'll still take it on board. But it might be fun to go through some of these now. So one thing that came up again and again and again was listener stories. People love when we do the listener stories episodes. Well, we haven't even done one this year. We hardly ever do them. We've done like one a year.
Yeah, they're fun. We've not done those for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised how much that came up. So I'll just use everyone's first names in case they don't want whole names on it. But Wesley, I love listener stories. Joanna, more listener stories, please. Rocky, listener stories is great to listen to. Like, again and again, the listener stories kept coming up. So maybe that's something we have to do more of. I always think, oh, do people want us to talk about that stuff? Because it's us just reading emails. But apparently people love those episodes.
Yeah. I think it gives everyone a chance to get involved. And
yeah, exactly.
I guess it's fresh stories, isn't it? It's like those stories probably aren't anywhere else, maybe.
Mm. I think what it is they like Tiss's reactions.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think maybe, like, it's where we don't tell each other what we're going to do. So maybe it's a bit harder to get listener stories, like, frequently, because it's a surprise generally for two of us every time we record. So maybe...
I don't actually read them when they come in. When I see it's a story from a listener, I generally scan to see it's a story, then I favourite it. Then when we go to do a listener's stories, I pull out all the ones I favourite. So, because I don't want it to be like, oh, I already know the story.
Right, I see, yeah. Yeah, let's do more of that then. Let's see if we can do that more often.
I think from demand, like, next series we'll definitely do one. I've got plenty of stories in the bag. And listeners, you know, you like hearing them, send us yours as well. Get involved. Like, I have loads, and I just pull them all out at random when we do a listener stories episode. So keep sending them, because it all just adds to more episodes in the future.
They're quite fun to read out as well, because often, you know, Bob, you are, you know, you're the guy that goes through our emails, and, you know, you let Tiss and I know when we've had stuff from listeners, which is really cool. But it's always really good to read firsthand, you know, those the stories when they come through. And yeah, it's always good fun for us, I think, in particular, because we know that you might not have read the whole story, but you've got the gist of it.
Yeah,
you've probably seen the title. Yeah. So they're fun to listen to. They're fun to be a part of. And
yeah.
Yeah, let's definitely do one.
Yeah, we'll do one next series. What I think the thing I like about them as well, when we first started doing those type of episodes, we called them ghost stories. And we just used ghost stories. But then we started getting like cryptic sightings and all this stuff. And I was just like, yeah, let's just have it more of a general thing. And I think that made it a lot more fun, because you get all sorts now. So yeah, people who like them, there'll be one coming up next season. I'll put some emails together for that. Another thing that came up again is the tangents.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hates them. They want us to stay on topic. no, everyone. Jake, keep the tangents. John, tangents are great. Tiss's one on rice cookers was gold. He's not the first person who said they love the rice cooker talk, and I don't remember what we talked about rice cookers on an episode.
I don't remember. I know my usual spiel, so I probably know what I would have said, but I don't know when that was.
Thing is, I know we've definitely talked about rice cookers a lot.
I'm on that 24/7, boy.
When we're on this chat, we talk about them a lot. I didn't remember that any of them actually got through to an episode.
Oh, really?
I normally would cut them out. But yeah, apparently I left one in, and multiple people have said they love the rice cooker conversation.
That's such a strange conversation to...
Is it me trying to convince Beef to get one? Is it something like that?
It might be that, probably. Or it might be when you're talking to us about making sausage sushi, or it might be when I was talking you into it and winning you over. We've talked about them so much that I don't know what conversation's gone to the episode or not.
I'm not going to get a rice cooker.
No, it might have been us trying to convince Beef.
They're amazing.
No, it's all right. I'm sure they are, but I don't want one. I don't want one and I don't need one, so I'm not going to get one.
Right,
love them. Used mine last night.
Hardly ever eat rice, but if you eat rice a lot, then I'd imagine they're very handy to have.
Well, most of my cooking is Indian cooking or Asian cooking, so I'm always cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, some sort of rice.
My tummy can't do Asian spices, and Rachel's mouth can't do Asian spices.
So
that
puts so a between lot of... it's just a write-off between you and I. Yeah.
And neither can Joel, actually, and I can't be bothered to do like two or three different meals when we're cooking dinner. So
you've brainwashed him. He loves it.
No, he doesn't.
That's brilliant.
So John continues, Tiss's one on rice cookers was gold. A Stonehenge episode could be quite interesting. I've never considered that. That might be a good one.
What, for us to go to Stonehenge?
Oh, either, well, an episode about it or to go there if you want us to turn it into an outside recording booth.
Just drive past it like everyone else does.
Yeah, it's wave it out of the window, driving past Stonehenge. Anything ghoulish or spooky is fun. Maybe Project Kronos. I don't know what that is.
I haven't got a clue what that is.
I'm making a note, though. Project Kronos, or whatever, Kronos, however you want to say it. So thanks, John. Alex.
I thought you said Project Corona.
No, Corona.
No Corona.
My Corona.
I'll turn this one.
No Corona.
Okay, next one. Alex, I know it's a bit of a Marmite subject, but I'd love more weird news. Anything that gets you guys laughing.
Amazing.
Yeah, weird news. We should probably do in a weird news next series as well.
Definitely. Tis loves weird news.
Didn't we do a weird news? No, I can't remember. We'll do a weird news soon. It's been a while. We'll do another weird news soon. We'll either end the year on one or ring in next year with one, but we'll do one soon. There's been more votes for listener stories, so that's gonna win over this time, I think.
We could do a whole series of listener stories and they'll be sick of them.
We did one sort of around New Year last time, which was like some of our favourite stories from the year before, well, didn't we? So we will do that again, for sure. What else have we got on here? Elliot, might not be a full episode's worth, but love to hear your take on Geff the Talking Mongoose.
Geff or Jeff?
Geff. Well, G-E-F. So I suppose it could be Jeff.
I don't know.
G, depending on where you're from.
Insane.
Do you know anything about the talking mongoose, Jeff Geff?
No. No. That sounds like a Tiss episode.
I don't know anything about it. He has sent a Wikipedia link with more information, so maybe we'll look into that. Yeah. Oh, hang on a sec. Someone actually responded to that. So it's Alex again. I read about Geff Jeff in a children's encyclopedia when I was young and have had a weird curiosity about him ever since. A great little topic for the Weird Tales lads. So that's two votes for Geff or Jeff.
That's bizarre.
So, maybe. Maybe. Peter, the more tangents, the better. So a plus one for the tangents. And more outside recordings would be great. So, yeah, I try and do some. I'm actually planning on doing one fairly soon, if I have time to research where I'm visiting. But I have got a few ideas. Now I live in Yorkshire, there's a lot of cool places I can drive to in Yorkshire to do it. So I might do a few more of those. I know some. I had some messages from other listeners saying like they would love it for like all three of us to do, try and do some. But it's hard. It's hard enough to coordinate Skype, let alone being in the same place at once. And when we are in the same place at once, we want to kick back. Like the guys were in Leeds like 2 weekends ago, we didn't record.
Yeah,
so. You shouldn't have told them that. No, you're right. It's, you know, we don't really see each other. I know this is obviously we're talking to each other right now, but it's not the same as, you know, when we get to really hang out with each other. Yeah. So, but maybe we could try and work in like a bumper weekend, like Friday to Monday, and just do. Yeah, we could do some recording somewhere and have some fun.
I would love to do some. We've been talking since like right at the beginning about going to Borley Rectory, about going to the ancient Ram, about, but even last series, Tiss was saying he wants us to go to a haunted house now. He's like, oh, I want to go now. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm down.
So yeah, maybe we should visit some places. What was the place you mentioned last series, Tiss?
Klopp Hill.
Klopp Hill.
That's so maybe Klopp Hill?
That's really scary though.
Oh, you, is it? So you, Tiss, you've got your mojo back.
It's scary because loads of people like block you in and like fuck with you anyway because it's famous.
It's scary because of real people.
Yeah.
Oh, just
that's
what,
not the same.
What, drug addicts or Satanists?
I mean, I couldn't comment on their addiction problems, but yeah, from maybe. I don't know.
Are they doggers?
Just people, just like dudes. Oh, I can't remember. I remember last time we went up the lane and then I think people came up the lane behind us, but then I don't know if there was commotion or whatnot. I can't remember how we got away. but I seem to have a bad memory of it.
Is this based on one experience you've had?
This is based on one experience.
Yeah.
But I've heard a few people say that they've had the same a similar experience where...
Right.
Really?
Yeah, because teenagers or... It's either a location to go and fuck with people or a location to go and experience something scary. So there's two types of people heading there. If you meet one of each type at the wrong time, then that's when things happen, isn't it?
Do you mean Clop Hill as in where they have the Clop Hill climb?
It's near Flitwick or near Abtill.
Oh, I don't know. Then maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's quite close to Milton Keynes. When I say close, like 30-40 minutes. I don't know about Aylesbury, actually. Aylesbury might
maybe
be
we should,
the other side.
Maybe we should do a Weird Tales Investigates dogging.
Mm.
And we all just go up Dunstable Downs with a recorder and just like tap on any steamy windows and ask them about what they're up to.
Dogging.
Ask them what they're up to.
Is it illegal?
No, that would be good. I'm also now I'm not working in education. I'm less restricted as to when I can take holiday. So,
oh yeah,
it doesn't have to. I can take holiday off in term time now. So.
Oh, so the trip that we've been talking about, which I won't mention. Yeah, that is a possibility with your new holiday timetable.
It's a possibility. Rachel looked into it for me.
Yeah.
And I don't think she was as bothered as I thought she might be.
I mentioned it to Rick after we said about it, because I was like, yeah, that's the sort of thing that Rick would know about. And he was like, oh, he's like done loads of research into it. And he was like, no, it's totally safe if you do this. And he had done all sorts of research.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Probably wasn't. Yeah.
Does believe in ball lightning, though, to be fair.
Yeah, not a trustworthy source, Rick.
Woo woo.
Anyway, we'll leave that as a mystery for the listeners in case it ever happens. We have a cool idea for a trip if you want outside recordings. Move on from that because I forgot about that and I'm just remembered it. Okay, so where was I? This is carrying on from Peter. So more outside recordings would be great, work permitting, of course. So kind of what we said. He also had a question. So next time, from next series, we said we're going to start Question of the Week to replace Listener of the Week. This is the sort of thing that would work for Question of the Week, but let's just do it now. Question. If the TV show had actually been made, so this is a kind of look into the future, like a what-if alternative future, if the TV show had actually been made, how would your perspectives and lives have changed then? So what would our life be like now if the TV show had gone forward? How would our perspectives and lives changed?
I genuinely don't think we would have went forward with the TV show.
Do you think so?
I know so. I know for sure. I think we would have been offered it, and I think we wouldn't have done it. I think it would have been something about the creative part or something about the fact that we'd have to have gone to America for it. I don't think it would have happened. But...
Well, you think we would have not been shills?
I don't know. I think I'd have gone to America if they were going to pay for it.
Yeah, I'd have gone to America. Oh, I think I would have taken a free holiday.
Reckon?
I mean, the next point in the interview that we had was like they were going to fly us up to New York, and we were well keen on that for a free trip, even if it didn't go anywhere.
I was not saying I wouldn't have. I'm just saying in my heart of hearts, I know that it was something that would have... I don't know. You didn't have Joel by then, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was only a couple of years ago.
That's an element as well, you know. It's like,
yeah,
how much commitment would that have been in practice? It's, you know, when you think about it beforehand, you're just like, yeah, that would definitely happen. But in practice, like, yeah, so it's a big ask to leave Joel for like 6 months to go to America or something.
I don't think they would have done it for 6 months. I reckon they would have smashed it out. We'd have been worked to the bone and got paid peanuts. I reckon they'd be like, right, you got to do it in 2 months.
Yeah.
Like travel the whole of America and act like get up every day, shuck and jive in front of the camera and put on your big smiley cha-cha-chas. I think we would have been treated like dogs. Like kind of you should be thankful to be a sort of attitude.
Yeah, I think it either would have been one of two things. Either they would have put some money into it and we could have done like a one-off thing, maybe in America, and it wouldn't necessarily be very good. Or they would have done like a real cheap thing over here.
Oh, I don't think they would have done it over here.
I don't know.
I think the route they were going down was more of like a travel show. of us. I don't know if we're allowed, or how much we're allowed to say. I don't know if we're allowed to say what channel they was approaching it or whatever. Fuck it, it was Discovery.
Well, how long was it that we were supposed to keep quiet for?
Was it Discovery?
Yes, it was Discovery.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the stuff on Discovery and I'm not that worried.
It's not what it used to be. It used to have quite a good reputation.
No, but you saw the shows that were affiliated with that production company. Imagine us being in those shows.
Yeah, I know. I don't think we have it in us to be false enough to sell those sort of shows.
No. I don't think that we...
We're too real, man.
...have those aspirations.
No, not at all. Like, no part of me has ever like aspired to television. It's weird.
No, absolutely not.
That's why it was weird when it was like people approached us for it. I was like, okay, I've never sought this in my life. And it was a time, yeah. A short time where I was like, oh, this is actually happening. Like there was a short window where it seemed very likely to be happening, like more likely than not. And then it fizzled.
Yeah.
Do you know what might have made it fizzle? The second online interview we had, and I just completely shut down halfway through because I got the giggles and was trying to hide it because I had seen in the corner of Tiss's spare room a copy of Sega Bass Fishing.
A copy of what?
Sega Bass Fishing for the Dreamcast.
Oh, my days. I don't remember that. I don't remember you getting the giggles.
Well, you probably just remember me shutting down. I didn't say anything because I nearly... What happened was, you know when your brain links two things... stupidly in the middle of the thing, I was about to make like a joke, like a pun about what we were talking about, but relating to Sega Bass Fishing, as if like our interviewer could also see it. And when I stopped myself from doing it, I like shut down because I was almost like my brain was going, what are you thinking? Why would you make a Sega Bass Fishing pun?
That is brilliant. You're gonna make a Sega Bass Fishing pun.
Well, you may as well tell us now what the pun was going to be.
That is brilliant.
I just remember like shutting down at the thought of like bringing up Sega Bass Fishing.
Big mouth
in this thing.
Philly Bass or something.
You could have asked her if she was really hooked by our vibe or something like that.
Seeing if our conversation was really reeling her in.
Oh, God.
Are you having a good time? I don't know.
That's a great game, by the way. That's a great game.
Oh, it's amazing.
We'd love to come to America. It's a really great place.
God. I mean, there's not much in this world worse than fish puns. And now we're just doing them.
Terrible.
It's all right. I'm finished now.
Don't flounder.
I'm not joining in. Dear. So that might be something that knocked the nail on the head when she was just like, these guys are weird. But how would it have changed our lives? I don't know. I don't think would we still be doing the podcast? Probably not. Probably that we'd have had to stop the podcast. It probably would have been our contract to stop it. And then we would have done this show. It wouldn't have got picked up for another series. And we'd be kind of like really jaded on the whole thing. And that would be our lives.
Yeah, I don't think it would have changed very much.
No.
I probably wouldn't have gone to university.
We would have literally done something. They would have realised they've got the wrong people after funding a series, and then we'd have the experience to look after.
Yeah, let's face it, it would have been a short-lived thing that was fun to do, but the chances of it being like a serious thing that was...
None of us are like actors, really. I think that it would have obviously... No.
Speak for yourself. Me and Beef were both drama students at school.
Yeah, speak for yourself, mate.
I think the biggest thing it could have done is, like, I reckon Bob could have got into, like, TV sound stuff. You would have probably spoken to someone about it, you know?
Yeah, I could have been, like, but I would have been the annoying guy, like, hanging out with the editor.
I think Bob was the one with the most to gain from the experience, to be honest. Me and Beef are set in stone with what we're doing.
I think I would have just annoyed him. So what are you doing over here? Do a bit of editing, are you? Yeah. I do a little bit of that. And they're just leave me alone.
Yeah, literally. not a lot.
I think any changes would have actually been negative.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
So, next message. Faye loves the tangents. Yeah.
Love the tangents.
Just you guys chatting about all kinds of topics and tales that are odd. Just more of that. More weird stuff and keep the tangents. I mean, I had no plan on actually getting rid of the tangents, but it's nice to hear that people actually enjoy them.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to know they're not putting anyone off.
No. I mean, the people, it's like Emma said when she was on, the people who have been put off by that stuff are long gone.
Yeah. Yeah, they would have stopped listening like years ago.
Yeah.
Especially that guy that used to bother us on Facebook, do you remember?
Oh my God, I forgot about him. The fucking long essays about how we're wrong. It's like, stop listening then, man.
He must have stopped listening.
Yes.
Unless he is still listening. Get in touch if you are.
He'll be bothering someone else. He's like one of those, like, he can't help himself but to correct people.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, whatever makes you feel good, man. But we didn't ever really bite on it, so
no.
He probably moved on somewhere else. Catherine says, love the tangents. That's another plus one for the tangents. Glad to see more revisited episodes. They're always a great listen. Catherine, there is another one. Actually, the next episode that's going to be released is a revisited, almost like a little mini epilogue to the Season of Skepticism. It's a fun topic. And would love to see an episode on urban legends and myths. That's something we've thought about for a while, actually. So thanks, Catherine. So Mihir says, in general, I think the pod is still great. Still my favourite. Thanks, Mihir. I definitely don't want you to cut out any of the tangents, and the off-topic talk is the best part. Topic-wise, I think definitely more juicy conspiracy theories, more listener stories, and more cryptids. And then he sent a follow-up message. And COVID situation permitting, I'd love to hear more Weird Tales investigates in outside locations. So another plus one for that. I remember you guys mentioning on one of your earlier episodes about visiting the ancient Ram Inn and the Poly Rectory, to name a few. Mm-hmm. Outside investigation apps are surely an option. Yeah, I mean, me and Rick did the investigation of the Devil's Bridge as well, and that was fun. They're really fun to do. It's just arranging ourselves.
Mm. And the ancient Ram was because it was close to Danny, wasn't it?
And I think the guy who actually was the guy who used to live there that used to let you in and have a look around, that I think he's dead now.
Oh.
So we'd just drive there and not be allowed in the building and be like, well, there it is.
Short trip.
It'd be a really long trip for a short episode. But Borley Rectory, yeah, I still would like to do it at some point. I think that'd be fun.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Even though I think that place is burnt down, I don't think you can actually go in that either.
Yeah, it'd be fun to do. Yeah, that'd be good fun. That would be probably a more likely episode, wouldn't it?
Well, when we're together, maybe we'll plan about something. I mean, I'm down next month. I don't know when you guys are around the Buckinghamshire area.
I'm always around.
I'm down
Wait,
Halloween
are we September
weekend.
Now? We're September still.
September.
Right. Halloween weekend. Yeah. I'm down Halloween weekend.
Ooh.
I've got a birthday party on the Saturday.
Yeah.
But how long are you down for? Like Friday or Sunday?
I don't know. I got invited today to a party.
What day?
I don't know. I need to find out. It was literally just like, having a party Halloween weekend, come along. And I haven't responded. So.
Right, yeah.
I need to find out more information. So potentially we could do something fun. We talked about how going to the Hellfire Caves. Hellfire Caves are fun.
Hellfire Caves is...
in High Wycombe.
Ah, okay, cool. Nice.
Yeah, that's a fun trip. We can get a cream tea there, walk through the little museum bit, and go down to the cave. That could make a fun episode about that. Or Clop Hill or Borley. Borley's not that far. Or we could finally go into London and do the episode if we've got more time.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. So, there's plenty of stuff that
I'd
like to do. Yeah. And maybe we'll try and arrange some of that when we're all in the same place at once in the future, because I think they're fun to do. It's fun to do those stuff together, and the listeners like listening to them, so it's kind of like a no-brainer. And also, listeners, this is us saying there's not going to be a Halloween campfire this year because we haven't arranged it, and it's like a few weeks till Halloween. There's no way it's going to get arranged in time.
Yeah.
So maybe next year for the Halloween campfire, maybe we'll do something else this year for like a November release, yeah.
Mm.
Cool. So Sean, this is Sean Torrance, he's been on the show. Tangents need to stay.
Agreed.
And I would love you guys to do a road trip together, literally what we were just talking about. Even if it's just UK one, maybe visiting famous weird places. Oh, like a full-on holiday road trip, like pulling in different places. Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be
fun. It would also involve us taking time off work and
I'd be cool with that.
Money.
It would be fun. We have talked about doing another Weird Tales trip before. Maybe if we can't get abroad, we could just do a UK road trip of hotspots.
A UK one would be great.
Yeah.
We'll hire,
that'd be really
hire
fun.
A big, like, big van. a big spooky camper van that we sleep in.
Mystery machine.
The mystery machine.
That's not spooky. It's got a flower on it.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. We could do that.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. There's lots of things I'd like to do.
Yeah, time and money.
So what have we got? Jeff. Jeff, definitely need to keep the tangents. Everyone wants these tangents. Some more on-location stuff would be awesome. So that people do like this outside recording stuff. Another Christmas special with some more coin in the pudding.
Coin in the pudding.
Oh, I had an idea for another coin in the pudding. Maybe I will put that together. Jeff, you've rung my bell. We're on my festive bell on that one. I had another idea for that. So, yeah, I'll try and dig that out.
Really want to eat Christmas pudding now. That's really I love me Christmas the taste pudding. Of Christmas pudding.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the shops now. I saw some mince pies in the shop the other day, so it's coming.
Fuck off. Holidays are coming. Coming.
Collection boxes are out. It's nearly October. It's not long. We've got like less than 10 days now.
I'm getting emails about buying beer advent calendars.
Jesus.
In fact, it's like this time next week, it's October, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Is it this time next week? Nearly. Week and a day. So, yeah. Jeff also says more ghost stories and cryptids as well. People love them cryptids. It's sort of my domain. I need to pull my finger out on some more of them cryptids.
Yeah, come on, sort it out. We've done most of the big ones though, haven't we?
Yeah, but then I like pulling out the weird ones. Like when I did Goat Man.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about that, but that was a really fun episode.
Yeah.
And then I've got a couple more on Twitter, actually. Luke, I love everything, but it's always nice to hear those spooky listener stories and ghost stories. All in all, keep it up. I'm loving every angle you hit us with. Thanks, Luke.
You're welcome.
And then, fine, I've got one more on Twitter. This is Cassapia. My favourite show. Definitely keep tangents, as it's where the personality and authenticity of the show springs from. More specialist guest interviews like the Reverend from the Fear episode. Oh, Peter Laws.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's a deep pull. That's from a few years ago. That was really good.
Yeah.
Those, we don't do many of those proper interviews. That might be the most official interview we ever did.
Yeah, we did.
And Tiss wasn't even there. He just texted in while we were there. It was like, Peter, Tiss asks this.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. We went to his house.
Yeah, and obviously we spoke to Andy and Keith.
Oh,
years ago.
Way early on at the beginning. Oh, we did Silo and we did the magic one. So we've done a few of the interviews. Yeah. They are really fun to do, yeah.
Yeah, maybe we can do some more of those. And I suppose like Tarot, we have done a few. Maybe we could do a couple more and like have a little research, have a little think about who we could speak to.
Yeah, I mean, last week we had Zara on. It was almost like an interview, but it was more of a like an interview discussion hybrid. But yeah, they are fun. It's harder to do online. I like doing them more when we can be face to face with the person because we get better interaction with them. Like, I think all the ones we've done that are like proper interviews have always been in the same room as the people. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's. You feed off their energy a bit easier, but it's always good to get a guest.
Yeah, yeah. And the discussion episodes are always popular, and we always make sure we get a guest for those. But yeah, Cassapia continues, love the listener stories, location investigations, Halloween campfires, more spooky and weird stuff. So yeah, the same stuff keeps coming up. People love the listener stories, weird news has come up a few times, the outside recordings, like, yeah, cool. It's good to know the stuff that people want to hear.
Yes, totally.
And I think we can do that stuff, leave the tangents, all that stuff.
I think so.
More tangents.
Yeah.
Less research for us, the more tangents.
Weird tangents and the unexplainable.
Only tangents.
Yeah, we'll just cut all the weird talk. It'd just be tangents.
I've got a tangent. Someone at the festival I went to, who was camping next to us, our friend Matt, fell asleep in his tent. Face first with his ass out of the door. I've got to show you guys the photo because it looks genuinely photoshopped.
I'm so happy with Tiss's segue there. I've got a tangent.
Look at this.
We've never just announced and now for a tangent. They're normally natural.
The listeners asked for it quite a few times, so I thought I must oblige.
And once again, So we're just about to see a picture of his ass, I'm guessing. And it's on an audio media, so yeah, it's not going to translate.
It's just going to be our reaction, girl. That's an ass.
No one's going to see the photo, but they get your live reaction to it.
Unless I make that the image for this episode on social media.
No, you can't do that.
Screenshot.
Oh, God. That's so funny. Have you seen it?
No, where is it? Have you
it's
sent
on
it
Signal.
To us?
No. Yeah, Signal.
Oh, right. I was waiting for it to come up on the screen. Let's have a look at this.
That is good.
It's just an ass.
He's not asleep. Tis, he's not asleep.
He's asleep. He's totally so asleep. No.
Listeners, it's exactly what you imagine. It's a tent with a bare ass poking out of it.
It actually looks like he's pulling a Mooney. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
He's totally asleep.
It is precisely what you described. I thought you meant that, like, a cheeky bit of ass was poking out of the zip. Like, you'd have to look through the zip to see,
his
at the back
whole
of the
ass.
Tent.
So I got out the tent. I was in my tent, and my friend Tim was laughing hysterically. And this is, like, just before we about to go to the toilet and go to bed. And I've got out of the tent, and I'm not joking, I've wet myself, like, so hard, like, just hit in hysterics.
I'm not joking, I wet myself.
It was fucking hilarious.
That's the clip I'm putting at the beginning of the episode.
But that's not where the story ends, actually.
All right.
So, from the toilet, from our tent to the toilet, Tim's proceeded to distribute the photo through the crowd. Anyone who sees us laughing and wondering why we're laughing, he's shown it to. And they're all just, like, laughing. So there's this whole chain of laughter
so
going through the campsite. Oh, my God. It is so ridiculous. So childish. And then at the toilet block, a group of people, Tim had sort of a wooed from the toilets with the photo and followed us back. Try and see it. Oh my God.
To see the real deal in person. You know what? I'm just so happy
it's
that
so
this
funny.
Is like all chipper and laughing. Because when we started this, he was dying, really long day, hating work, really down. And I said, we'll get you smiling. And we really have.
That story makes me smile every day because it is just so ridiculous.
I mean, I'm loving how happy it made you.
The fact
that
we got lost in our campsite for 15 minutes and these people carried on following us back to our campsite to see the sight. Oh, God. It's
love
so
it.
Ridiculous.
So, that's where I'm going to put the adverts this week. It's such a good, perfect stopping point. So that's the show going forward, I think. I think now we've had this break, when we come back, we're going to come back revitalized. I think we're going to dip into some stuff that we just find fun and know the listeners want to hear it, and we're going to be happy to be tangential. In terms of us as people going forward, not related to the pod, don't know, just live our lives, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, what have you taken... So I suppose... Yeah, Zara asked some good questions last week.
Mm.
And Emma brought some things up, and so did Rick. Like, I don't know, would you guys say there's one thing that you, I don't know, not want to work on, but, like, sometimes you just breeze through life without any kind of, like, assessment or thinking about where you are and just... I don't know, not a goal to work towards, but...
Well, I've always got a goal to work towards because I have an endless checklist. It's like, what needs editing, what needs uploading, what needs studying...
You've got too many goals.
What is the next thing of my that I need to hand in for my university? What's the next thing I need to read for my university? Where am I tomorrow working? I work in a different place every day for my job. So my life is a checklist.
Recently, I've been thinking about how to incorporate cornflake milk into bakery items that I can cook at home. That's what I've been thinking about lately.
So simple.
The two extremes.
Yeah. I was like, I need to lighten my load. I'm very serious. Tis to our cornflake milk.
I want to make some sort of like, because you told me of the place in Leeds makes it cornflake milk with their donuts, isn't it?
They make the cream, they make Berliner cream donuts with cereal milk, yeah.
Yeah, that I need to try and find some use for that, because that is amazing. Cornflake milk cream.
Shout out to Doha in Leeds, best donuts in the city.
Apart from they're not vegan, get a vegan donut.
Shout out to Doha, get a vegan donut.
Yes. Get to V-Cut and get disappointed. V-Cut Doha.
But how was your cookie at North Star? That was vegan. Shout out to North Star Coffee Leeds, best coffee in the city.
That was amazing, North Star, and the coffee is actually amazing. The coffee that I brought back genuinely tasted like what the thing they said it would taste like on the notes, which never happens.
Great.
It's milk chocolate.
That's awesome.
Thanks Acast and listeners, because all our advertising money, we all went out for a nice breakfast together, paid for Weird Tales. When the boys were up in Leeds.
Hell yeah.
But if you've got some big changes going forward, because you're going to be a daddy again.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the end of the year, there'll be a baby.
Do you feel more prepared for this one? Does it not feel like as scary, like, because you know what to expect?
I feel more prepared and less prepared.
Mm-hmm. We got a girl this time, so it's different.
Rachel's laughing, and Rachel's working on her master's behind me, and she's laughing. So I feel more prepared because, so last time, obviously, you've got no idea. There's nothing in your life to, like, compare it to. There's nothing to, like, as soon as Joel was born, it was like this instant, just, like, I don't know. It was really weird. It was almost like experiencing something I'd never experienced before, which when you're an adult, you're like, I've experienced everything that there is to experience in life. Like, you've experienced most things.
Yeah, so, every position. On top and underneath.
Yeah, and you can't and you can't imagine it. You just can't, there's nothing to liken it to. Like having a child, you can't really prepare for it. So I feel now I'm like, oh, that again. But I know that it'll be just as mind blowing the second time, I guess. Like it's,
of course.
Like the,
you're gonna be chasing that high.
Yeah, well, it's going to the scans, I thought, oh, I know this, we've done this before. And it was like going for the first time again. It was just as exciting, just as amazing. So
yeah, it's a new person.
But I suppose we know what to do with the baby now.
Yeah.
Like we went to all the courses and then we were still like, what are we supposed to do with this little baby?
Yeah, you learn through experience and you've got a bit of that now.
So it feels like we're like, oh yeah, that. And we recognize, like, I remember being really like just amazed at how selfish I was. Like all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can't sleep anymore, and or just like you just get used to Joel sleeping and then he'd have a sleep regression and you're like, oh, so now we're just not going to sleep for like 3 weeks. Brilliant. So I suppose now I know that's going to happen again, I'm more like, okay, that's fine. And you know it's temporary. Like in the moment you're like, this is awful.
This is my life.
This
now
is absolutely dreadful. This is my life forever now. I'm never going to sleep again. But that's, but obviously, like, you're sleep deprived and your emotions are a wreck. So now you're like, okay,
describing
that's
me.
Fine. It was temporary. It didn't last forever. It's fine. So it's a bit of both, but it'll be exciting. It just feels like it's going quickly. Like all of a sudden there's, definitely a baby coming.
Cool. I look forward to meeting her.
So yeah. yeah. Tiss, are you still think you've not met Joel?
Tiss has definitely met Joel.
No, I've met Joel. I've met Joel for sure.
I'm certain, like, the last time we recorded, you were like, yeah, I need to meet him.
No, I need to see him since, like, a long time for sure. He is not.
Right.
He's not
right.
Been like he is.
You might be conflating when we saw Jibs. Who was I need to meet him, because Jibs had never met him, because he's been in Italy.
Maybe, yeah, sorry, maybe I'm mistaken, yeah. sorry.
Because I was right, like, no, I remember that conversation, no, I think that was Jibs who said that, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
no, I've met,
because I was going to say, I've definitely been in the same place as Tiss and Joel, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was just getting confused.
I just stayed clear.
Yeah.
So big changes for Beefy.
Big changes.
Yeah.
Big changes. Changes.
For me, it's just carrying on studying. Carrying on working, carrying on trying to get a mortgage, which I've been trying to do for 10 years, but no one will give me one. Carry on. I mean, not...
Can you imagine yourself graduating? Can you picture it?
No, it feels absolutely endless right now. It feels yeah. unachievable. It's insane. I'm not even halfway through. 7 years of studying, everyone. Everyone keeps saying to me, how long have you got left then? I'm like, 4 years. They're like, well, how long have you been going for? 3 years. Yes, it's a 7-year course. It's long. It's hard. Language degrees are really hard. But, you know, I'm getting on. I mean, not to be too much of a downer, but I suppose you can see it as a positive. I think I keep saying it. I am definitely going to be sorting myself out a little bit soon. I'm going to be getting some therapy soon. I've been looking into that because I got to sort my brain out. I've really got to sort it out. It's just getting hampering with my life, and that's just something I need to do. And I've known I've needed to do it for a long time, and you know, now I'm having other people telling me it's what I need to do. So I'm like, okay, cool. If other people are seeing this is what I need to do, I really should have done that before other people told me to. So yeah, that's something I'll be sorting out in the near future, hopefully.
And that's not a downer, is it? That's really good.
Positive. That's positive. I see it as a positive. At the moment, I see it as a positive because I feel okay. I'm kind of on an up. If I think about like, oh, I need to get therapy when I'm in a down, it makes me feel like, oh, I'm pathetic. I need therapy. And then you feel down on yourself or even thinking you need help from other people. But that's just, that's broken brains for you.
What type of therapy are you going for?
I don't know. I don't know what they do. I just know that I need to go and see someone who can fix me a little bit. Yeah, or help me understand a little bit. I don't know.
Man, REBT is great.
There's a good place in Leeds that has really good reviews and everything that I'm going to go check out soon. So.
Yeah, you might find trying like a couple of different things, like you'll find something that works.
Yeah, I think this place, you go there and you talk to them and they have a lot of different people that work there and they'll sort of pair you up with someone who will hopefully be beneficial to you. So I don't think they're cheap though, but you know, we'll see.
Well, let's be honest, I think it's like all of us have expressed we've had, you know, issues with mental health years, and
it's like,
probably,
I think everyone does.
Be a good thing for all of us.
Yeah, like, it's something that like everyone, I think anyone could benefit from it.
I was talking to someone at work today, and they were saying how like the last 6 or 7 years has just been really crazy, and the world has changed a lot, and we've seen a lot, and you know, we're definitely not the same people that we were before. We were talking about like in the context of kids and how kids have been affected over the last 18 months. And we probably won't see the effects of that for another 10 years. Like eventually it will just like come out, this mess of mental health issues. Like it's coming out now, but I think it will get worse over time. It's like, so, yeah, all this, you know, I think it's more important to focus on our well-being and, you know, work's good, we need to pay our bills, but equally we need to think about mental health. And, you know, I think that's really good that we are donating to mental health charities this time around. That's really important.
Yeah, I did the research for that, so we'll talk about that at the end as well. I did some research, at least for this series. We're going to do mental health again next series, but I didn't want to just give it to, like, the big names we've all heard of. I was trying to dig in and find some that were doing good stuff, but we'll talk about that at the end. Yeah, it's interesting to talk about like everyone's this sort of a lot of people were feeling the effects of the last couple of years and stuff like that. It was really weird. I think I said this on the show before, but for me, the healthiest year I had in terms of my brain not just like eating itself was 2020. For the last decade, it was like the best I felt because it was like the world was so mad that it was out of my control, and I was just like completely relaxed. I was like, cool, there's nothing I can do about this.
Yeah.
I felt not under pressure. I can't fix a pandemic. Cool, I'm just going to sit back and replay the Dark Souls trilogy. And I just felt not pressured, not stressed. I felt incredibly calm for that entire year. Weirdly, it was like the healthiest year I had. But that's our weird brains. So I've got one more email I want to read here, which is one I've been sitting on for a while, but I thought it would be perfect for this episode because it is a little bit about how skepticism can affect, like a bad experience can change your perception of something and change how skeptical you are about a thing. And this is actually about someone's faith, which is something that we talk about a lot on this show, faith. And this is about how like his negative experience was with the religion he used to follow, affected his relationship with faith in total.
Right.
And it made it so for him, thinking of religion only has negative connotations because of the bad experience he had. And that's like a different form of skepticism. It's like skeptical about whole belief, about belief in general, not just like one belief system. So, I checked with him if he was all right for me to share this. I put a bit of an email back and forth. And I won't use his full name just in case he doesn't want me to, but this is an email I got from Paul. So he had said initially that, you know, he used to be a Jehovah's Witness. And we had mentioned it on an early episode. I can't remember what we said about it, good or bad, but we brought it up. And I asked him about his experiences of it and stuff and why he was ex-Jehovah's Witness. So he sent this email. I feel as though my experiences with the Jehovah's Witness faith has damaged any faith that I now have in a loving God. I have a hard time reconciling things that I've read in the Bible with a God that truly cares. So meaty start to an email. As far as reasons for leaving, they're numerous. They have a very hateful view of homosexuality, which I hate, as two of my best friends are one of the happiest married couples that I know. The way they shun former members who have been disfellowshipped is so unscriptural and has resulted in many suicides, and blood is definitely on the hands of the Watchtower Society. The Bible says many times that God doesn't change, yet the constant doctrinal changes within made me sure that they do not have the truth, as they're so fond of saying. One of the most glaring instances of them changing dates or doctrine to support their viewpoint is that they claim the destruction of Jerusalem was in 607 BC, despite it being widely known that it was in fact 587 BC. They use this made-up date to support their view that Christ was enthroned in heaven in 1914. One of the final nails in the coffin for me was numerous investigations into child sexual exploitation and the shocking way that they handled it and continue to handle it. I'll skip ahead a little bit. So sorry for a long email. All this is just off the top of my head. There's so much more, including their damaging policies regarding blood transfusions. They claim to be true Christians, but in my opinion and the opinion of many people, they're a cult posing as a loving sect of Christianity. So, juicy email, and like I said, I checked that he was okay with me sharing it, and it was interesting to hear someone. We talk about faith a lot on the show, but we've never really brought up people who have had like a strong faith and grown up in a religion and completely turned away from it. And when Zara mentioned that she was brought up Muslim or whatever and then had sort of moved away from it as she got older, it made me remember that email from Paul that we'd had a few months ago. So I just thought it was kind of on the topic of skepticism and belief and faith and all that stuff. And it was interesting how he had this negative experience with the faith that he was raised in that became so negative for all the reasons that he said, again, that's his opinion, the stuff he said, that it made him turn away from faith as a whole, as a concept. It felt like he couldn't ever prescribe to a faith again after that. So, yeah, how negative experiences can have an effect on people.
Yeah.
But I thought you might find that interesting, Beef.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unfortunately, I've heard stories similar to Paul's. I think, unfortunately, it's the case. You know, people do have quite a negative experience of faith. And I think, unfortunately, it's down to, it's people, isn't it? And at the center, it's people, and people can be pretty shitty at times.
Yeah.
And just because they have a faith doesn't mean they're not going to be shitty people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time it's, trying to understand, you know, giving people grace and, you know, a chance for a second chance. And because ultimately at the center of Christianity is forgiveness. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, the Bible talks about that. So it's, but it's, you know, some of the times, you know, I've heard stories of things that people have done or churches that have been at the center of some scandal, which is just so ridiculous that you can't help but just feel complete. Like listening to Paul's experience, I'm like, yeah, I think I probably would have lost my faith as well. That sounds really difficult. But yeah, the blood transfusion stuff is...
Yeah, it wasn't just one thing. It felt like for him there was...
There's a whole stack of stuff.
Just incident after incident after incident. If that piles up on you, or one thing after another, you are going to question what you've been led to believe. So
yeah, definitely.
I mean, I think the definitely with the homosexuality stuff, I think, you know, when you read the Gospels, there's pretty much only one thing Jesus talks about, and that's the poor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of what he speaks about, and doesn't say anything about homosexuality at all. So at some point you've got to think, well, you know, is the church worrying about this more than Jesus himself did? You know, that's just my own thinking. And yeah, it's a real shame. I really do feel for Paul that he's had that kind of experience, and I know he's not alone.
Yeah, you can hear me like tiptoeing it around a little bit, because I don't know anything about Jehovah's Witness. That's why he emailed in the first place, because I probably said something really ignorant about Jehovah's Witnesses on the original episode, because I don't remember even mentioning it.
In the same way that he's had a really negative experience, there'll be tons of people out there that have been Jehovah's Witnesses for years, and
that's it,
and it's their identity.
That's what I was saying. It was his experience. He had a bad experience, and this is why. Yeah. And it's interesting how that, you know, can affect your belief and faith and skepticism and all that stuff.
In the same way that Zara mentioned last week that she's, you know, had issues with delusions, and people that have been involved in faith and it's been like it's made them
delusional. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About lots of things. And
for sure,
that's never been anything I've experienced, or anyone I know has experienced that. But so,
yeah, unfortunately, like almost anything, like people's religious faith can be used in a manipulative way, and yeah, used negatively, just like everything can. We live in a world with bad people.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, that's a bit of a downer.
No, not at all.
But I thought it was interesting and it's relevant. I wanted to get it in this series, and the talk with Zara last week reminded me, so I wanted to get it in. So is there anything you guys want to say else about the future of us and the show, and yeah, anything?
Don't think so.
Do you want me to leave that long, long, long pause there?
Yeah, go on then.
And that one. Right.
And that one.
Right, let's start winding down. I knew this would be a shorter one. That's fine. So this is, we'll start wrapping up. I say a short one. This is like the length of a normal Weird Tales episode. It's just the others have been so long this series. So first of all, thanks to Rick and Emma and Zara for being our guests on this series. It's been really great to have you on, and you all brought different stuff to the table.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, each episode was so different, and everyone brought a completely different perspective and different thinking and different questions. So it was really good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, excellent. Listener of the week, the last ever listener of the week before next time we start question of the week. And I've had a few questions, like nice, real quick fire questions, like what's your favorite this? What do you like to do when you do this? Where do you like to go when you do this? Just real snappy, quick-fire questions to give us a fine little tangent at the end of the episodes. That'll be starting next series. I've got a couple of them already. Send them in for the final ever Listener of the Week. I read one of his comments earlier in this episode, actually, but purely because he messaged me this week and saying, oh, I can't believe you're stopping Listener of the Week. And I said, yeah, I mentioned it a while back, you know, winding down. He said, oh, I'm gutted. I've missed my chance now. No, you haven't. You got in, and just because you thought you'd missed your chance, Wesley Lyons, Listener of the Week. Thank you.
Listener of the Week.
Thanks for listening. You have not missed your chance. Sometimes those puppy dog eyes do work on me, the hard dumb eye, for once.
The squeaky wheel gets oiled.
Yeah, I bet Anderson was sitting there thinking, finally, listen to the week, I'm going to finally get it on the last ever one.
Never.
No, never Anderson.
I like the way he's just become Anderson.
Yeah.
Never Anders.
Mr. Anderson, like in The Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. But
Mr.
Yeah,
Anderson.
Not Anthony Anderson. Wes Lyons, thank you for listening. You didn't miss your chance. Final ever listener of the week. And next time, everyone, bring some questions. Send us some questions in the break. Charity stuff. Let me get my information up here. I mean, you guys can veto this, but once you hear it, you probably won't, because it'd be a really shitty thing to do. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Grassroots.
Don't think so.
So they are a charity that is dedicated to suicide prevention.
Awesome.
So I don't know if you guys want to veto that.
I mean, you'd have to have some pretty big balls to do that.
I'd almost respect you. But yeah, Grassroots is a UK leader in suicide prevention. They help to create safe spaces in communities for life-saving conversations about suicide, support people to develop the skills and confidence needed to save lives. And in the last couple of years, they actually developed an app, the Stay Alive app, in 2019.
Amazing.
Which in that year alone exceeded over 100,000 downloads. It's an app to sort of maintain your mental well-being and keep positive thoughts and track this, that, and the other. And that's been really popular, and they do loads of really great stuff. So Grassroots Suicide Prevention, we will be giving the charity money from this run, our advertising money from this run, towards. And we'll be giving it to another mental health charity next time. So if there's any particular that listeners want to mention, let me know. I've got a few in mind already, but yeah, it's really hard to choose. But this, I did a little bit digging into these guys, and they're doing some really good stuff. So yeah, Grassroots Suicide Prevention, you got our money this time. We'll be sending that your way very soon.
Amazing.
That's great.
And finally, I'm trying to fucking get through my notes here. No, I think that's it. I think that's it. So thanks, everyone. Quickly, if you want, do want to send those questions, if you do want to do anything, if there's any suggestions you want for stuff going forward, the email is wtatupod@gmail.com, or you can contact through Weird Tales and theunexplainable.com. There's a contact button on there that'll go to the same email address. Or you can find us on social media. We don't really use it, but if you find us on there, we will respond to you. Well, me and Beef, well, at least this isn't actually on there at all. And where can you find our Twitters? Go on WeirdTalesAndTheUnexplainable.com. The Twitter handles are there. The Facebook page is there. The link to TeePublic to buy merch is there. Ways to donate monetarily is there. If you want to listen to other stuff I do, you go to my website. It's bobshoy.com, BOBSHOY.com. You can support my time researching and editing this, as well as the other podcasts that I mentioned on there, at at patreon.com/bobshoy. And that's it. That's all that stuff. You know all that stuff already anyway. Leave a rating review. We never ask, but do that. Give us a few boosts on wherever you listen on, and tell some friends about the show.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Tish, you look like you're primed to say something.
No.
Oh, you're like leaning into the mic. I was like, he's waiting.
He did, didn't he? He went right in. I was thinking we're gonna get some Tish wisdom.
He's waiting to say goodbye because he wants to go to bed, is what it is. Finally, okay, I've got one more thing to say. I used to do this a lot, and I just, something I lost track of. Sometimes we used to play listeners' music at the end of the episodes, and I had a few people like fairly recently saying, oh, are you still doing that? I'm in a band, this, that, and the other. The answer is sometimes when I remember. but I was reminded when I was going for the emails looking for Paul's emails, I was reminded of band Constant Waves. A guy from the band Constant Waves emailed us to say, use one of my songs if you still do it. And now I feel bad because I can't remember the guy's name. It is Jake. Here we go. Jake from Constant Waves. Jake, I didn't respond saying I'll actually do it, but this is going to be a nice surprise for you when you listen. I'm going to put a Constant Waves track at the end of this episode. So guys, go and check them out. They're on Bandcamp. That's Constant Waves. It's like sort of instrumental rock, sort of math rocky instrumental stuff. It's pretty cool.
Sweet.
So yeah, thanks for listening, and your music will be coming any second now because we're done, and we love you, and goodbye, and
bye. See you later.
Bye 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 bye.
Cheers.
Bye bye bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Let's do it.
Right. Tis, you can introduce the show. You haven't done it this series.
No.
Trying to wake him up. I'm trying to get you shushed up from the get-go. It might be the only thing we get out of you this episode.
Right.
Tis, have you... Well, I don't know. I don't know about the only thing we'll get out of him this episode. Have you got pants on?
I've got pants.
Oh, thank fuck, because it's getting dangerous again.
I've got full trousers.
All right.
So just the last time you were in your robe, you showed us all your willy.
Yeah.
So
I definitely did not. It's been absolutely exaggerated, that.
It's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.